In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, what we're going to talk about, it's a new year. We're in 2024. Vacations are over. Christmas is over. New Year's is over.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about resolutions The 8th of January. And I'm going to bet that many of you out there have already failed on your resolutions for the new year.
What are those?
But I'm going to talk to you about the psychology of resolutions, why they don't work, how you can make them work for you, so that you can build new good habits in the year 2024.
All right.
And as usual, we'll give away free crap.
That
sounds good.
That sounds great.
All right. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is going on, my friends? This is David Wright, the Motor City Hypnotist. We're back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, Matt Fox. That's the other voice you hear.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Matt. Glad you're doing well. Glad your holidays were well.
Yeah, a couple extra pounds heavier. I got to lose them now.
Well, that's, well, we'll talk about that in resolutions because that's typically, one of the resolutions people talk about.
Right.
So we're here in the podcast, Your Voice, Southfield Studios.
Yes, we are
hanging out. We're on Facebook Live. If you're listening to the audio, you can always join us live on Facebook as we record each Monday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have been off for a couple of weeks because of the holidays and how they fell.
But
we're back. So, thanks folks for checking in, whether you're on Facebook Live or whether you're listening to the audio on whatever platform you're on. And the important thing is wherever you're listening, leave a review. That's probably the best thing you can do. Leave us a review. It just helps us get more people to listen and check the podcast out.
That's what we do.
So I'd appreciate that. Let me tell you where you can find me. My website is motorcityhypnotist.com. Check that out. Especially, and I want to push this now because we're after the first of the year. We know that, so we got February, March, April. We only have 3 months until prom grad season starts.
Oh, boy.
So schedules are already filling up. So if you're a parent group, one of the parent groups that organizes mm-hmm. your school activities, go to my website, motorcityhypnotist.com. You can fill out a form there and you can have a quote within 5 minutes.
There you go.
And the important thing now is to do it soon because that schedule is filling up, and especially for grad nights, because those can be any night of the week typically. So, I have shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights, Saturday mm-hmm. nights, Sunday nights. So no day is safe. So if you have something planned,
reminds me of a Cage the Elephant song.
Oh, I love Cage the Elephant.
Ain't no rest for the wicked.
So check it out on the website. Again, you can complete the form, have your quote back within a few minutes, and then you can book directly online as well. It makes it super easy. Honestly, you don't even have to talk to anyone.
Perfect.
For some people, that works out well.
Right.
My social media, Facebook and YouTube, are both Motor City Hypnotist, and on Instagram and Snapchat, which are both Motor City Hypno. That is HYPNO.
Yeah.
And as usual, we always give away a free hypnosis guide on our show. So text the word hypnosis to 800. I'm sorry, to 313-800-8510.
Again?
313-800-8510.
Do it.
And you'll get that free guide. Just text it to you mm-hmm. automatically. So check that out.
All right.
Before we move on, I got to do a couple of shout outs. So gentleman I used to work for. So I'll make a very long story as far as how I know this person. But I was at a clinic many years back, like 25 years ago, that just shut its doors, went out of business.
Okay.
So I had to jump into a temp job just to kind of cover.
Okay.
At the same time, I was still seeing clients privately, but I jumped into a temp job and ended up at Ford Credit. So anyway, our branch manager, when I was at Ford Credit, I was on the credit desk, approving auto deals. and our manager of the branch was Mark. And Mark passed away on Sunday.
Oh man, yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, 69. He was having some health issues, especially some kidney issues, and apparently he I talked to his wife a little bit. Apparently he had passed out in the garage and just went over like a tree.
Man.
And, you know, busted his face all open. And by the time she got to him, it was,
oh man.
Yeah.
Sorry to
hear that. All gone. Yeah. So, and here's the bittersweet thing about these things. They talk about funerals and weddings is when you see people yeah. that you haven't seen in a long time. So yeah. I did get to meet up with a lot of my old friends from the old Ford Credit days out in Troy.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the branch office was back in the day. Mm-hmm. And, so that was nice. I got to see a lot of people. And we reminisce, so it was a good time. So, yeah, again, shout out to Mark's family and, you know.
Prayers.
Hopefully they're doing well.
Lots of prayers.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I hate to say it, but when you get to this age, things like this are probably going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't say fairly frequently, but, you know.
More than you want
it to. Just that time. More than you want it to. So, again, shout out to Mark Morshall's family, you know, prayers and thoughts and wishes and. Whatever we can do,
right?
You know, you can let us know. So speaking of Mark, who was a winner.
Oh, there we go.
That's how winning is done.
All righty. A hero dad saved a woman and her 3-year-old daughter after he saw their car being swept away in a flooded river.
Okay. I'm playing catch up here. Okay.
Yep. That's the first line of the story.
That's
a dad saved a woman and her 3-year-old daughter after you saw their car being swept away in a flooded river.
Okay. So the dad was not in the car when this
Correct.
Happened. Okay.
Yep. Liam Stitch, STYCH.
Okay.
Leapt into action, fighting a raging torrent after hearing the woman screaming, help me, please save my baby.
Okay. Right.
There's a video of this. So it'll be in the link in the show notes.
Goodness. All right.
A video shows the woman's car being dragged under a footbridge as floods surge through Birmingham, England on Tuesday following Storm Hank.
Okay. Darn you, Hank.
Not only did the 28-year-old dangle off the bridge and smash the rear passenger window, the quick-thinking dad used ratchet straps to lash the Fiat to the bridge to stop it from sinking.
It's a Fiat. He could just pick it up and move it.
You would think. We were walking over a bridge and I heard a woman screaming from inside a car. The front of her car was pointing down into the water, so I dangled off the bridge. I didn't want to make the situation worse by sinking the car with my weight.
Right.
I told the woman to remain calm and unwind her window and hand me her child. The woman could only get her window halfway down, but he grabbed the baby. This line is great. And hurled her into the arms of his pregnant partner. Who was watching from the bridge.
Go long!
Touchdown! The highway engineer then sprinted back to his work van, grabbed a set of 3.5-ton ratchet straps. Good. Once the baby was safe, I ran to get the straps and climbed back to the car and smashed the back passenger window. The car secured to the bridge following the rescue. I'm sorry. I secured the car to the bridge with the ratchet strap
so it wouldn't sink,
drift yeah. away any further under and, the bridge.
Right. Wouldn't sink yes. down any further either. Okay.
I then told the woman to climb into the back and get out the window. She managed to get out and we held hands to jump together into the water after a count of three. The current was really strong and I dragged her out of the water.
Literally and figuratively dragged her out of the water.
Do you want to see a picture of the car
yeah,
latched to the bridge?
Yeah. Let me see what he picked yeah. up.
Oops, sorry.
Wow. Okay. That car is about, I'd say 70%. No, about 45%
yeah.
underwater.
Yeah. There. I mean, it would have gone all the way under.
Right. Wow.
Had he not strapped it. West Midlands police hailed Liam a hero, but the modest dad of two insisted he just acted on instinct. I think if I hadn't done what I did, the car would have been dragged under the bridge and there would have been no way of getting them out. It was pure luck that we were there when it happened. He hopes people are educated about the dangers of flooding.
Mm-hmm.
It's been raining heavily on the roads. It's been raining heavily and the roads suddenly turned into rivers. And the streams turned into raging rivers. The poor lady has lost her car and her shopping, which was in the back. But she has her daughter and they could have lost their lives.
That's all that matters.
Absolutely.
The car can, that stuff can get replaced. The car and stuff,
yes, absolutely. The safety is the biggest thing here. But yeah, just again, talking about somebody in the right place at the right time, just happening by, and somebody who knew what to do. Mm-hmm. He was a highway engineer, so he had some engineering knowledge there.
There was a higher power at work here. Mm-hmm. David. There really was a higher power at work here.
Well, it's kind of like destiny that he was there at the point where someone needed him and his knowledge. So yeah, to I don't know if they gave the woman's name.
Didn't sound. I don't recall you stating the young lady's name here. The mother.
They didn't. They didn't mention the mother's name. But to Liam Stitch, who's the guy, you know, there's Liam with his pregnant partner. I think you saw the other picture too.
I did see that. Yep. And that's who he hurled.
Yeah, he hurled the baby to. So she must be a good catcher. I hope.
Well, she's pregnant.
Well, yeah. I mean, she probably had something to cradle, you know, cradle a baby against. There you go. Yeah. So anyway, Liam Stitch, definitely.
Winner of the week.
Winner of the week.
Thank you.
That's how winning is done.
So I will resolve to not make crass jokes for the rest of the year.
Really? You're going to make a... No, you can't make resolutions that you can't keep at.
That's right. That's bad.
And we're going to talk about that here. We're going to talk about resolutions.
So, back to it.
So, yes. First point, Matt. Don't make resolutions you know you're not going to be able to keep.
See, you follow me here. I'm always going to make a joke.
I did. That's a great segue. So we're talking today about the psychology of resolutions. And when we talk about the psychology, it's how the human mind thinks about resolutions, how they handle them, how we deal with them, why we fail, why we succeed sometimes. So Forbes Health did a survey in October of 2023. So just a couple months ago. 61.7% of respondents say they feel pressured to set a New Year's resolution.
Why, who's pressuring them?
They said they feel pressured. So it's probably from their own selves. Okay. I would guess that it's their own pressure. In addition, many respondents are planning on setting multiple goals, with 66.5% stating they plan on making three or more resolutions for the year ahead.
Well, they got a chance, a 33.333 chance to at least get one of them.
Well, sure. So that's a survey that was just done. So it's pretty accurate as far as timeliness, since it was just done in October ahead of the new year. So, I mean, people make resolutions for a lot of things. The most common ones are losing weight, eating better, working out, stopping a habit like smoking.
Right.
Those are kind of the common ones. So here's another part of the study that of course, this is self-reported, but 90% of New Year's resolutions will be abandoned within just 2 months.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I did hear that.
So think about that. 90% of the resolutions that people make out there are done within 2 months.
Yeah. Because they didn't do it right.
Because they didn't do it right. Or
it wasn't a smart goal. It wasn't specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time.
It's funny. Right? Funny you talk about that, because we're going to hit on those specific things. Definitely smart goals. So the question is, so why do 90% of the people fail with their resolutions? I mentioned it just a moment ago, that sometimes we think too big, we put too much pressure, or the resolution is too big to be able to be done. But I think what we're missing is the why behind it. So why do people fail? Even if it's a good resolution, even if you want to change something, why is it that we end up failing? So this whole ritual of making a resolution on New Year's Eve, it's kind of arbitrary. Because we can set goals anytime we want.
Right.
It just happens to be the psyche of, it's like a new year. It's a new date. The calendar's flipped over. It's time to make some changes. And that's the human psyche that probably makes people feel like, oh, I should do something different this new year. New year, I need to change things. So, you know, as a result of that, when the new year rolls around, many people consider making these changes.
Sure.
In this ritual of just like the new year and making change, that's what drives most people to do these.
Kind of build up to that change, though. That's
right.
That's what these goals I'm sure we're going to talk about. You can't just say, I'm going to do this, like 2 hours of gym
every single day.
Every single day. That's not how this works. You have to work up to it. And they don't give themselves enough time to understand that, because they didn't start it in October. They're going to start in January and expect results right away.
Right. And that is the psyche, because it's a new year. It's kind of a fresh start. We're writing a new calendar year. That's why people feel like they should do something. Hmm. So the question then comes up, why do people make resolutions if 90% of them fail? Because here's the thing, extrapolate that out over a lifetime. You know, I'm almost 60 years old, so
yeah, you don't look a day over 52.
Thank you. So let's even take a few years off of that, just because, you know, it's hard to make a resolution when you're three. I mean, maybe, but
I promise not to poop my pants. I resolve. I will not.
It's quite pungent. It stings the nostrils.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So, I shall not soil my underwear.
Sorry. I will not piss my pants while I'm in bed.
This is a mess.
Go on.
So the question becomes, why do people make resolutions if they know 90% of them fail? And it's really this need that we have as human beings to improve ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think that, as you mentioned earlier, Matt, that's something we can look at any time, any day, throughout any time of the year. It just so happens that New Year's is the easiest time to kind of say, okay, now's the time. Right. It's a good date. It's a good crossover. The calendar flips. It's just psychologically that feels like a good time to make a resolution.
Do you know what starts every 7 days?
A week.
A new day.
It starts every day.
So it doesn't.
Right. No, exactly. So, and here's the thing, as optimistic as you may be about your resolution, yes, I think it's great. I think it's admirable, but that somebody will say, I want to get in shape, so I'm going to go to the gym every day for 2 hours, 7 days a week.
Right.
Good for you. Yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. But it's not realistic.
Right.
Now, it could be realistic at some point. But most of the time, resolutions set us up for failure because we're taking on too much.
Right.
We're thinking too big.
So let me share this with you.
Yes.
Last year, as a previous winner of the week person, I did the Tough Mudder.
Yes, you did.
Last year. We're going to do it again.
Absolutely.
This year. Guess what we started doing?
Training. Yes.
You can't just walk into a Tough Mudder and expect to get through it.
So let me ask this, as kind of an outside fan of Tough Mudder, I've watched all the videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm thinking, oh, that'd be fantastic to do in my head.
Yeah.
I haven't taken any action towards it yet, but
welcome to join me.
I mean, I don't know. It's crazy.
Oh, great. Odin's Raven.
So when I watch it, I'm thinking that'd be fantastic to do. So let me ask this, as far as how do you train for that? Because it's not just, is it stamina? Is that really what you're looking for in a Tough Mudder?
You have to be able to run 15K.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a 15K course.
Right.
Right.
But there are obstacles throughout the course.
And there are obstacles throughout the course. But those obstacles, they're not incredibly difficult. You do need stamina through them, but you still need to be able to run 15K.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
So it really does start with the training and getting your blood pumping.
Right.
Get your heart rate.
Well, yeah, I mean, just even your lung capacity and your stamina to be able to do that.
Right.
Yes.
So that's really where it starts.
OK.
And then you add in those weightlifting, those, you know,
like strength exercises,
the core training and such like that. You add those in, but you first have to get your stamina down and be able to run.
What is the date of your Tough Mudder?
Father's Day 2024.
Nice. Okay. So if I had some crazy harebrained idea in my head that I wanted to do this,
you have 6 months.
Now's the time to start training.
Yep.
Okay.
That's a smart goal.
Yes.
There's a time limit for it. It's attainable because you have to set yourself up for success. It's realistic and it's time. You have 6 months. It's time bound.
Yeah. No, exactly.
It's
right.
A smart goal.
And that's why this first thing, we're thinking too big, comes into play. Mm-hmm. You have to plan out. exactly what your end result's going to be, because you're not going to get there in a day or a week or even a month sometimes.
Right.
So the idea of a New Year's resolution, that there's some big sweeping huge changes, because that's kind of like, ooh, that's the sexy thing to think about. Like, I'm going to turn everything around and be totally different.
I just thought of something. I'm just saying it. Give me that pill of Ozempic, will ya?
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
So, I mean, and so we're talking about things like eating habits or sleep schedule. Or maybe learning a new language. That's a good resolution.
That's a great resolution to have.
But as humans, we're not wired to make huge, sweeping, monumental decisions and changes.
No.
We're just not wired that way. Now, I can't say there are exceptions to every rule. I'll say that. But for the most part, most of us don't have that ability to make these big, huge changes in a very short period of time.
The human brain is not engineered like that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who you are, what country you live in. You have to train your brain first.
Yes.
Right? And then, you know, make sure that you're setting those smaller goals. And you know what? If you reach that, you feel good.
Well, and I'll put it into context. We were just talking, Kendra and I, and my wife and I have been taking golf lessons over the last couple of years. In our golf pro, Marlon, thank you for getting me where I'm at and hopefully where I'm going. But but my point being is that he'll even say you can't have I'm telling you things to get a feel, because you can't have too many swing thoughts in your head.
Need one.
You have too many thoughts in your head. It will not work.
Right.
You're thinking about too many things at once.
The golf swing itself is the most unnatural thing the human body does anyways.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. So that's an example of just taking on too much or thinking about too many things. So let me take an example, like learning a new language.
Okay.
For example, you're not going to learn German overnight.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Nein. So just take a language, for instance. You have to just do a little bit every day. Mm-hmm. And studies have shown too, as far as studying, as far as people in school, and I know it's been a long time since I've been in school, but you know, sitting down and studying for 6 hours straight is not nearly as effective as studying in 20-minute increments over the course of a week.
That is a correct statement.
That's the way our minds work.
Yeah, I got to get myself enrolled into these winter classes here.
Yeah,
I got to do that.
Mm-hmm. So the whole idea here is when you make a resolution, it's the end goal might be overwhelming change, but that's not your initial goal.
Sure.
Don't think too big. Think in very small increments.
Mm-hmm.
For working out, say, I'm just going to work out for 5 minutes every day.
It's a tortoise and the hare, attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You got to take it slow. You can't just get it all done and be like, hey, I'm going to win. No, you need to be very calculated with your goals.
Yes, absolutely. And they need to be planned out and written down. And we're going to go into how to make goals in a little bit.
All right.
The second thing is, as far as why do people fail? Why do people feel the need to make a resolution, or why do they fail at them, and how do people succeed? The thing that we have to ask is why. Why are we doing this?
Sure.
Because if there's not a why, then it's probably not going to succeed. Because if you were to say to me, oh yeah, I want to work out, I'm like, why?
To feel better.
Okay. Very generic. Not that that's not right, but
that's just one of the reasons.
Well, sure.
I look terrible naked. I want to look better naked.
But here's my, okay. So let me ask this question, because I want to feel better. Well, didn't you want to feel better a month ago?
No. I was going into the holidays, man.
No, I didn't.
Give me all the sugar and sweets, man.
Like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you?
No, give me the sugar and sweets. I'm getting into the holidays.
Okay, 2 months ago, didn't you want to feel better?
Of course.
Yeah. So that's kind of my point, is that we want to feel better all the time. So why do we have to wait until the first of the year to do something?
Fair.
So, and here's a great quote. And this comes from author James Clear. The pain of not changing has to be greater than the pain of changing for us to really change.
Repeat that.
The pain of not changing has to be greater than the pain of changing for us to really change.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Who said that?
James Clear.
Okay. Who's James Clear?
He's an author, self-help author. We've used a lot of his stuff on the show before.
Yes, we have.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
Yep. So the whole point is why, what is your pain point as far as what you want to change? And does that exceed the pain of actually changing what you're doing? That's the whole question.
Okay.
So, and that's a tough question, because if you say to somebody who wants to say they want to exercise for a New Year's resolution, so what is your pain point? Do you feel you're overweight? Do you not like your self-image? Do you have health issues? Like, what are the factors that are driving you to make this change?
Listen, when I have a dicky-do stomach, do you know what a dicky-do stomach is?
No, I do not.
Because your stomach sticks out farther than your dicky-do.
Oh, no, I've had that before, yes. Knock on wood, not much lately, it's better.
That's kind of the gauge for, that should be the gauge for men. You know, yes. If you can't see your man, your penis, let me just say it, beyond your stomach, that's a problem.
Well, what if they just have a pin dick?
Like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you?
They wouldn't see it no matter how skinny they are.
Well, that escalated quickly. Yeah.
a pin dick. So the whole thing
is a thimble.
Why are you doing what you're doing? Right. What is the whole driving factor? And really that is the pain that you have as far as making change, because we're wired. Humans are wired to do things in order, to have a habit and do the same things over and over again.
Yep.
When you change that brain, our brains are shouting inside our heads, no,
right.
No, don't, we don't want change.
Mm-hmm.
Change is terrible. We don't like change.
No, kids don't like change.
No, nobody likes change.
But you have to, even as a child, you know, you want to have parents that are going to help you understand change is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you might have a morning routine and you have to do X, Y, and Z, but you know what? That's going to change at some point in time. And you have to be prepared for that.
Yep. So we're going to talk about, we're going to stick with weight loss as an example. Okay. So what is the personal reason for your goal?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like we have to dig deeper, you know, because people will say, I want to get in shape. I want to feel healthier. If you know the reason for it. So let's say, for example, your reason is, okay, if I'm pre-diabetic and I'm having health issues because of my weight, then yeah, that could be a driving factor for you. That is an important enough factor that you think, I want to make a change because I want to feel better.
So let's
want to help myself.
Let's move away from health for a second.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, bodily health. What about mental health?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are some of the resolutions that folks set to be more mentally healthy?
Well, and so I'll give you a couple of examples just from clients that I've seen over the past few months.
Okay.
Clients say something like, I just want to be happier. Okay, that's great. I'm glad, but okay. How do we do that? What are your steps to getting there? What do you need to change that's going to make you happier?
Mm-hmm.
Because unless you define that, there's no way to know.
Is it treating yourself better? Is it treating other people better? Is it, you know,
I think it's a little bit of everything. Now, this is going to sound, this is coming from a therapist, folks. So this might sound a little Pollyannish or whatever. But I'm telling you, just trust me on this. If you project kindness, you are going to feel better.
Yep.
And you can shake your head and you can scoff at that, but I'm telling you, if you project kindness to others, you are going to feel better.
I will guarantee it. When you put kindness into the universe, you will feel better about yourself. And guess what might happen? That kindness may come back threefold.
Correct.
You know?
Yes. And that's one of the big things I say to people. It's like, you know, your mindset is so used to reacting in a certain way and staying in this certain like channel of thinking. And you have to break, you have to get that thinking done.
Mm-hmm.
The whole theme of the show is change your thinking, change your life.
There it is.
If you don't change your thinking, you're not going to change the way you feel. So for mental health, back to your question, Matt, for mental health issues, yeah, definitely. I'm like, okay, so what do you want to change and why do you want to change it?
But to make that a resolution, mm-hmm. you have to start small, Right. You have to start with, you know, smaller goals.
So let me give you some of the assignments I give out.
Okay.
Because this will help. This will help kind of conceptualize it and put it into practice. So let's say that you want to be a happier person. And I say to my client, well, I want you to project kindness. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, well, how do I do that?
Say thank you.
If I'm not, well, I said, okay, the next time you're out, hold a door for someone.
Yeah.
Just that. Don't worry about anything else. Mm-hmm. Start there. Have a conversation with your Starbucks person.
Right.
Say thank you.
Uh-huh.
It's just these little things. And when you start incorporating these tiny little things, they start to add up. Start to feel better.
I can't tell you how many times I've been so kind to hold the door open for somebody and then I end up holding the door open for somebody for like five, six,
10 hours. Yeah. You're standing holding the door. Yes. Yes.
You
absolutely.
Get caught, you know?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, I'm just being kind.
So we're going to continue, folks. I know we're close here, but we're going to continue. I'm going to give you a couple other areas of the psychology of resolutions and the way you can keep yours, because we're going to reframe your resolutions.
Love it.
It's the 8th right now. Even if you've already fell off the wagon, we're going to restart as of the 9th.
Okay.
Or whenever you hear this. Could be the 11th or 13th, whatever.
Whenever you hear this, it doesn't matter.
Whenever you hear this, we're going to restart this. So before we go, we have our Detroit dog rescue.
Oh, who is it? First one of the year.
It's first one of the year. Gaudet. Gaudet is a mixed breed, was born in February of 23. So almost a year old.
Okay.
She's a male or he's a male, 55 pounds, dog friendly, cat friendly, unknown.
What breed?
Kid friendly, 5 and over, mixed breed.
Mixed breed.
So they're not sure. But look at Gaudet's smiling.
Aw, look at that face. Aw, I want to take Gaudet home. Is it Gaudet or Gaudet?
Gaudet.
Gaudet.
If you want to do it phonetically.
Just come on, G.
Look at that. It's like he's smiling.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Here, take a look, Matt. There you go.
I want to take this young man home. Goodness.
So Gaudet is at DetroitDogRescue.com/adopt. All of their dogs that are up for adoption are there. You know what? Here's the thing, folks. This is kind of an add on to our show because we're not like an animal show, but we do love animals.
Yes.
And every week I go in to do our notes for our show, for our podcast. Mm-hmm. And I see some of the same dogs on there over and over again.
I have not been adopted yet. I would imagine you would.
Yes. And that's kind of sad because I'll see the ones I'm like, oh man, we did that one like 4 months ago.
Can we need to reach out to someone at the Detroit Dog Rescue.
You know what?
Rescue.
That's a good point. And we're going to have them on.
Yes.
To talk to them.
We need to.
Right. Absolutely.
We're always promoting their pups. And
so let me pile on a little bit here. Studies have shown, this is no, you can argue this, but studies show that if you own a pet, you are in general a happier person.
Fair. That could be part of the resolution. Yep. Work to yourself to a point where you can adopt a pet.
Yep.
Right.
And there is some
guidelines.
What's the word? Emotional connection with an animal that you don't get with people.
Right.
It's just the way it works.
Oh, yeah. I've had plenty of conversations.
So Gaudet needs a home. He's ready.
Aw.
Take him home.
Such a pretty pup.
Yeah. I like that smile. All right, folks, we're going to be back with the psychology of New Year's resolutions, part 2. In the meantime, change your thinking, change your life, laugh hard, run fast, be kind. We'll see you next time.